So this morning we celebrate our second Sunday of Easter, second Sunday of the Easter season, which is known as Divine Mercy Sunday, the day where we celebrate this outpouring of God's mercy, of Jesus's mercy upon us, and the image that we have here that he was given to Saint Faustina, this kind of obscure Polish nun, and the effects of that, of God's mercy continually outpouring upon us. And you know, it's the common, the preacher's dilemma of the thousand things I want to preach about, because I love the divine mercy. I love the story of divine mercy. I love the gospel today of Thomas and doubting Thomas, and you know, unless I put my fingers into his hands, I won't believe. All of those things are incredibly important. But as I was kind of sifting through and praying through what I wanted to preach about today, it was the first reading that really stood out and just caught my attention of couple different things within that first reading, the Acts of the Apostles. And as we go through the Easter season, we're continually drawing from the Acts of the Apostles, the earliest days, the first couple of decades of the church, of the life of the church, and what was the church like before there was a church building, before there was religious orders, before there was schools, and it was just the apostles, the earliest Christians, people's homes, and the Holy Spirit. And so when you read through the Acts of the Apostles and you imagine yourself in those circumstances, it really does kind of help to extract what did they focus on 2,000 years ago in the first beginnings, the fledgling baby church. And I think today's first reading is incredibly important in that, especially the first sentence and the last sentence. So here's what it says in the Acts of the Apostles. This is Acts chapter 2, again, very early on. They devoted themselves to four things, it mentions. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, to the communal life, to breaking of the bread, and to the prayers. In the early days of the church, before they had any kind of, again, there was no cathedrals, there was no schools, what they devoted themselves to was the teaching of the apostles, communal life, breaking of the bread, and prayers. Those four things are kind of the bedrock of which the rest of the church is built off of. And I think sometimes it's, at least for me, it's very tempted to get distracted and pulled off into a thousand other things that are really good. But sometimes it's at the expense of what is foundational. And so just kind of re-asking that question of what is those foundational elements of the Christian life. But then you skip down to the last verse of today's gospel. And honestly, this is the one that really, really caught my attention, just because of the nature of what's been going on in my life and in the life of the church over the last, you know, week especially. But the last line is this: and every day the Lord added to their number those who are being saved. Every day the Lord added to the number those who are being saved. And I can't help but have that catch my attention and stand out, especially in regards to, you know, we just celebrated Easter and the Easter vigil. And we welcomed here at St. Peter, we welcome more people into the church of baptisms and professions of faith and confirmations, more than I've ever done in my 11 years as a priest in one go. And so the joy, the emotion, the all, you know, all the culmination that it takes to get to that point is still super fresh in my mind. And so reading this, every day the Lord added to their number, that just, I can't help but just think of our circumstance here, but then the church at large. And so there's some statistics. I don't know if you've been following this in the news, but this is kind of stuff I really like to pay attention to. But across the United States, we had more people become Catholic last Saturday on the Easter Vigil than we've had in almost 25 years. The highest numbers across the board. So some of these numbers that I found interesting was that from the year 2000 to the year 2019, in that almost 20-year period, only 11% of dioceses Across the United States, in this 20-year period, only 11% of dioceses saw an increase of conversions, of adult conversions, in that 20-year period. Everybody else, that number plummeted. I mean, and not just like, though, by a small bit. It was like less than half or less than a quarter in some places. But since the year 2000, since COVID, really, since the pandemic, and especially this past year, 81% of dioceses have now seen in the last 5 years, have now seen an increase of adults becoming Catholic. So this, it's a massive night and day shift that has happened in this interest in becoming Catholic. And I don't remember exactly what the exact number was across the United States for those who entered the church last Saturday, but in Los Angeles alone, the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, 8,500 people joined the church in California. In Washington, D.C., it was 1,750. In Newark, New Jersey, same thing, 1,700. Oklahoma City, for example. Last year in 2025, they had 600 people join the church. This year in 2026, they had over 1,000. In our Diocese of Wichita, we had over 600, and we haven't seen those numbers since going back to... we've had some big, classes, you could say, but it's basically been 20, 25 years since we've seen those kind of numbers. It's just kind of interesting. So who are these people? Who are these people that are coming in? And they, of course, they keep numbers and stuff, and they a lot of times they'll do interviews of people of, why are you becoming Catholic? And so kind of interesting to see what this demographic is. The number one largest demographic of those adults becoming Catholic are Gen Z. College kids. Across the United States, college campuses have experienced the largest influx of single shift from year to year, influx of kids joining the Catholic Church, 19, 20, 22-year-old kids becoming Catholic that we've seen in, again, decades. Right behind the Gen Z are the millennials, the 30-year-olds of today or early 40s. The millennials are joining the church again, and the largest numbers. And what's interesting about Gen Z is the first generation to be more Christian, profess themselves, identify as more Christian than their parents, and in a lot of cases, even their grandparents. There's this kind of a shift that is happening. So to ask the question, okay, why would a 20-year-old... why would a 35-year-old with a couple of kids, why would they want to become Catholic? And so they've asked that question too. And you know what? You could probably guess what a lot of the things that they cited or pointed to. The biggest factors were tradition. They wanted something that ties them to more than just the flow, ebb and flow of today, an anchor, so to speak, something that's not swaying and constantly changing. Reverent liturgies. Imagine that being a point of the boring mass. And I remember growing up, 8 years old, sitting in the pew, this is boring. But there's a draw among young people who are seeing that, like, kind of the track that a lot of mainstream Christianity, or even within the Catholic Church, there's been this chasing after, like, entertainment, so to speak, and trying to have a big rock band or laser shows or whatever. Turns out, at least the way the movement is like a reverent liturgy that directs the heart and the mind to the Lord. That this vertical dimension of our being drawn up rather than the horizontal of staying here earthly, this idea, this attention, desire for the heart to be moved to God. That's what liturgy is supposed to do. structured community. This is what these 20-year-olds are citing. They're drawn to the Catholic Church because of structured community. Does that sound familiar at all? What did they devote themselves to in the early church? To the teaching of the apostles, to communal life. That is a bedrock of a Christian foundation. That's what we are supposed to be doing in living our faith. It's supposed to be a community. Our faith is not meant to be lived in a individually wrapped, vacuum-sealed funnel. It is a communal life. And that is what is attracting people, particularly post-COVID, when there is so much isolation and being stratified of like, this group is over here and this group is over here, but this idea of being drawn into community. And probably the thing that caught me the most of all of that was particularly among the young men, the young Gen Z guys. What they found, a lot of them would cite, is what attracted them to the Catholic faith. You wouldn't have guessed this. I wouldn't have guessed this one. But the draw of a heroic and disciplined life. A heroic and disciplined life. In a world that tells you if it feels good, you can do it. In a world that look at society at large. It's like hedonism, you know, unrestrained. You know, whatever your desire is, whatever you're attracted to, indulge it, engage it as fully as you can. And then here comes a Catholic Church that says, no, actually, you know what? You can't eat meat on Fridays. Actually, no, you know what? Life begins at conception. And we don't apologize for that. Actually, you know what? God created us male and female. And that's what we are. We have two options here. Marriage is between one man and one woman, and that's a lifetime institution. Truth, morality, is not a moving target. And that's one of the blessings of the Catholic Church, is you don't really have to guess or wonder. Maybe you don't like it. Maybe it's hard to live out, but you don't have to wonder, what is it that we teach or hold or believe? And as this is increasing, I see this as a prediction. Pope John Paul II, back in the 90s, he talked about a new springtime that was coming in the church. You know, after a long, cold, hard winter when everything is dead and there's ice covering and snow covering all kinds of stuff, he predicted that the church would be experiencing a new springtime when the ice melts away and you start seeing the buds on the trees. We've been seeing this spring in the last couple of weeks. I believe that what we are experiencing right now in St. Peter's, Schulte, America, from California to New York, what we are experiencing is a new springtime. These are signs of buds on the tree. There is new life here. The Holy Spirit, make no mistake, the Holy Spirit is at work. And I guess that's where I would challenge all of you. Maybe you've been a lifelong Catholic and been cradle Catholic and coming to Mass every Sunday and, doing all the things. But we can get stagnant as well and complacent in our faith. And I think that's where the Acts of the Apostles really challenge us. Maybe the faith isn't brand new to us. This isn't news, so to speak. But we can get complacent. And so I just would invite you to just ask yourself that question. Am I devoted to those four things? The teaching of the apostles, to communal life, to breaking of the bread, and to prayers. Are those four aspects element in my daily life, or is it just simply an hour on Sunday morning? This kind of thing, this kind of awakening, it's happening across our nation. And so we also have to be moving in that direction. And that's one thing, especially devoting themselves to the teaching of the apostles. You know, maybe it's one thing if you lived in a hut, in a mud hut in the middle of the Sahara Desert 1,000 years ago, and you didn't have access, you didn't know how to read and write. Okay, maybe you didn't have access to a lot of knowledge of the faith. But you and I can't claim that ignorance. We do not have that excuse. We have more access at our fingertips to all kinds of truth in our faith. We have no excuse for ignorance. We have no excuse to be forming our mind, forming our heart, so that we can invite others in, and we can have what St. Paul says, be prepared to give a reason for your hope. So these are things that I think we need to sit with, to be challenged with a little bit. And so that it's not just the new spark of those, the new who are coming in, but for the rest of us, that our faith can be revitalized. New life can be breathed into us by the Holy Spirit. So that even here, the Lord continue every day to add new numbers to those who are being saved.